How do you make sure your marriage is rock solid and strong into the new year? Joining us now to talk about that are good friends Joe and Cindy Farini, who spoke nationally with Family Life's Weekend to Remember Marriage Conference for over 20 years. And Cindy has been a contributor to Pause for Prayer since 1998, barely after Daria was born. You were born in 97. Just not to age you, Cindy, but I just did.
Yeah.
Welcome, you two.
I know.
Yeah, thank you. Good to be with you.
Yeah, I didn't mean to do that, but it just kind of happened. It came out. If it makes you feel better, I graduated high school in 97, so I feel old too.
Very good.
That
was a very good year. A lot of things were happening.
Okay, so yeah, a lot of folks thinking about the new year, and I suppose you can't just presume status quo is going to make your marriage stronger.
No, I think everything has to be worked on, right? Everything that we do, if we want to excel and have excellence and have it work out right, we have to work at it. So, you know, having a kingdom perspective in your marriage is certainly a good thing going into the new year. And I think what we really want to talk about today is starting with just being cautious and careful and reflective about what stage you're in the marriage process, you know, whether you're newly married or you have children, or maybe you'll never have children, or maybe you have now grandchildren like we do. And like, what stage are you in? Because each one of those are going to have challenges and joys. And for years, I don't know how many years, Joe might know, but we've been every year, we sit down and we have a reflective couple of moments, usually in early February. We kind of get through January, and then we sit down and we put our goals. We put down our goals, our physical goals, our mental goals, our spiritual goals. When we had children, we had goals for the children. And mostly they were just, honestly, just to put them down so that we would have opportunity to reflect on them. And then through the year, new year, do something about it, you know, and I will say this, though, the one that we're just really having a hard time with every year is keeping our weight where we want to keep it. That's the one that we're probably failing at throughout the years. But there have been so many things that had we not really purposely looked at them and said, this is what we really want to accomplish or move forward in this year, I don't think there would have been as many victories, if you would.
I like the way you frame that, and particularly with identifying what stage you're in, because I've noticed people are always trying to think the next stage will be easier. Like if you compare Lauren's phase of life and mine, where she's got little toddlers, I've got teenagers. I think they're both hard, just different hard.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I agree.
Would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
And guess what? We're with children and grandchildren. We still have, you know, our Joey at home, but we also have grandchildren. And I just had the bigger boys for a couple of days, actually 4 days. And I know I'm doing what you were doing or are doing, Brian. That's running them all around town. I had a grand time. We had really nice one-on-one time here and there. It was really fun. But for me to do that paced that way all the time now that I'm sort of not in that season anymore, probably would be hard. But for a few days, it was great. We had so much fun. But that's not my season in terms of all the time, but it is my season periodically, and I'm so happy for that. Mm-hmm. And having that one-on-one time with them is part of what I really want to be reflective of and you know, be proactive in moving forward, having conversation with them that just isn't just simple, you know, deeper conversation.
Very good. So now as we plan for the new year to make our marriage strong, what's one thing we can do?
Well, I think one of the things we want to make sure that we're in alignment with is what God calls us to do. And again, as we already alluded to, different seasons of life, we're kind of called to do different things. And I think this is a very important topic. I mean, it's not as easy as you might think it is. I mean, when you look at scripture, and it's just a quick cursory overview of what is said about this whole topic, it becomes real clear that when God sets in place an action, an initiative that he wants to put into place in our lives, he's going to ask for people to step up and say yes to it. And again, it's not as easy as you think it would be. Either you're going to say yes now, or you're going to say yes eventually. And you know, a couple of easy examples of this was that most of our listeners will be able to really connect with is Moses and Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. I mean, for Moses, if you read the Exodus 3 and 4, clearly God had called Moses to a mission. And that mission was our mission of rescuing his people from bondage in Egypt. And, you know, and despite things like a burning bush that doesn't, not consumed, or a staff turning into a snake, or a hand becoming leprous and then healing, Moses still wanted God to have someone else do his job. And so you would think, well, if he just would have said yes, this would have been, you know, an easy thing to do. But he didn't do that. and God was obviously quite angry with Moses for not saying yes when he was asked several times by God. And, of course, God eventually granted permission to bring in Aaron on this one. And so together, Moses and Aaron were able to accomplish and say yes to what God called them to do. And I mentioned that story because I just wonder how many times some of our friends and listening at this point can experience or relate to the fact that God asks us to do certain things and say yes to him, but we just continue to say no to him. And I would just, you know, encourage that person to know that, be assured that God's will, it will be done, and that God will continue to use his people to accomplish his will. And he's either going to use you or he's going to use someone else to get his will done. And so for all of us, I just think we just need to be in tune to what God is trying to say to us. And if you can do that together with your spouse, that just makes us saying yes a whole lot easier. And, you know, the other thing was just, and I think this is probably the most motivating example I can give to you, is just the prophet Isaiah. And even though he was a prophet of God, God still needed to reveal to him, to Isaiah, in a very special way to convince Isaiah to say yes to him. And the pattern that God used to convince, you know, Isaiah to say yes is very similar to what he does for us today. And that is, as God continues to desire to reveal himself to us, and if you will, to provide us a clearer concept of who he is, we should be able to start getting a clearer concept of who we are. And as we have these two clearer concepts going in our lives, when the question comes down, who's going to go for us? We're going to be able to step up and say, here I am, Lord, send me. But that didn't just happen. You know what I'm saying? That didn't happen. It's when we became more in alignment with what God has called us to do, as we discipline ourselves, you know, to be men and people of prayer, to be men and women of the word, in order to get ready for that moment when God will ask us to say yes to something. It doesn't just happen.
And I think, too, if we think about if anyone has ever done the Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby, which is, you know, quite a few years ago, but yet still so very relevant, you know, one of his principles that he said is find where God is working and join him. So for us as a couple, our goal has always been, if we sense that God is asking us to do something, the answer is yes.
All right.
Very good. Now, you two, it looks like one of your next tips is to value people over projects. Tell us more about that.
Yes, I love this one because I love people and I love projects. I'm always busy. I'm always with somebody or doing something. And so I feel like over the years, I've really had to make sure that I have a good priority with that, that people always come first. And for me, it's been a good learning process to be in the moment when I'm with people, but maybe have projects in my mind or on my mind. And so years and years ago, when I was doing organizational seminars for the home, women in their home, I put together a chart, and I'll put this on either today or tomorrow on My Marriage Matters on Facebook. But the chart really has a whole list of different things that we might have in our planning. So whether it's books to read or projects to do or things to do with people. So for instance, back to our first point, things that we would have when our kids were young that we wanted to see them accomplish or have them master, if you will, within that year. So I would put those things on this chart. And then each month I'd be able to check off, what did I do to make one of those things happen? For me, that was helpful because I would lean in my own ways to doing a project probably over a person. And so I had to be very reflective of that. So that's one way that I kind of got to be able to do that a little bit better. So for us as a couple, people are always more important. And last night was certainly indicated of that. I was on the phone for probably 3 hours talking to some people who needed just to have some conversation, and it wasn't early in the evening. And I was happy to do it. I loved doing it. But what's your priority, you know? So if you recognize that one is over the other and you want to change it, then make those changes into the new year and make it purposeful.
Yeah, and I can attest to what she just said. She was on the phone quite a while with these folks, but it was good. You know, I could tell her she was really rolling, and she was really speaking the truth, and the people were responding to her. So that's very good. For me personally, I can tell you that after being a Christian now for 48 years, and most of those years I've been involved in doing a lot of ministry activities and projects. You know, not just around the city, but around the state, around the country. And I can confidently say to you that, you know, the remaining years of my life, I want to wholeheartedly give my life and my time to passionately pursuing a more intimate relationship with the Lord and with my wife and my children and my grandchildren. You know, as far as I'm concerned, from my perspective now, looking back over all those years, you know, these are the things that I believe that will help me, help us, you know, to really leave a legacy that will impact future generations for Christ.
So what's another thing we can do to make our marriage strong in the new year?
All right. Well, the next one I think would be, you know, where do you want to go in the future? What does the end of your life look like, and how are you planning to get there? Sort of like your monetary investments when you're younger and you have, you know, retirement accounts and all that sort of thing. You're planning for the future. In your whole life, what are the things that you're doing that you're planning for the future? Now, for Joe and I, you know, we're in that fourth quarter, and, you know, we're starting to downsize and sort of minimize different things in terms of things. But what are you doing at this time? You know, if you have things to give away, give it away. Whether it's belongings or savings or, you know, giving to ministries and things like that. But live for today with your tomorrow in mind. That's the goal that I would have for myself, but hopefully for listeners who are in tune to wanting to get into 2025 in a good way.
Well, that's a great line, Cindy. You know, living for today with tomorrow in mind. That's excellent. We should put that on our refrigerator today. But, you know, purposely developing things like a budget with the end of life mindset, using that as basically a grid through which you filter doing things, is really critically important, I think. It doesn't matter really what stage of life you're in. And, you know, and a great passage to keep in mind to guide you through this process is Psalm 119, 105, verse 105, which says, "Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And I've just learned that, you know, God will bring clarity to your plans as long as you have determined that you want to be used by Him.
Yes, and I think just a little side note here too, that, you know, if we feel like we've said the wrong answer to God or we're in the wrong direction or something, I do believe if we are with our whole heart doing this as unto the Lord, even though we may not be in the right direction, I do believe He will change our course. You know, I don't know if there's anything scriptural specific to that, but I think when He knows our heart. So if we're not going in the direction, either I think He'll change our desire to make it different, or He'll change our path and our way, and He'll make it clear to us. So that's always my hope, for sure. And then if we could just go on to the next
please.
One. We have two more, so if we can get those in before our time is up. But I love this one, and it's just to live big. And, you know, there's so many things in life we can look back at and regret. And I just think if we live big in the sense of with our family and our friends, to enjoy them, to have fun, to plan outings with people, that whole, you know, you only live once mentality, you know, laugh a lot, play games, have fun. One of the things I did, and this is, I think it was just out of a need to get out of the house during COVID, was I made our van an adventure van. I have a sign on the back of my van that says adventure van. And I'm trying always to just take a friend and we go someplace and we sit someplace. I open up the back of the van. I have a little table and I'll bring like a carafe of coffee and we'll sit and we'll just enjoy a conversation. It doesn't have to be anything big. I just had, like I mentioned a minute ago, we had the grandchildren with us, the two big ones, and our 12-year-old. I had 3 hours with him before we had to get his brother. And so I said, well, you do know we're in the adventure van. So I have like twinkly lights, you know. So I put the twinkly lights on. We're sitting in Hobby Lobby. And he loves Hobby Lobby. So when I mentioned, what do you think if we just went to Hobby Lobby? He goes, oh, that is my happy place. So here we are, you know, sitting where we were finishing a little something to eat with our little twinkly lights on. And then we went into Hobby Lobby and just had a great time. So, you know, sometimes it doesn't have to be planned fun. That was just like, what do you want to do? Let's do something fun. So just make sure that you're really living big in that way. The twinkly lights are nothing big, but you know what? I know they're going to be a memory because not everybody has twinkly lights in their car. Yeah.
Now the Farinis like a good icebreaker, as I recall as well. Kathleen always horrified me when she was on the show with me with the kitchen utensil one you would do. What is that one again? If you were a kitchen...
Well, I think she did that one. That's hers. Yeah, yeah. Just fun things to talk about. And that was one for her. If you could be a kitchen utensil, what would you be and why? And, you know, that is something even while the boys were here, we had a whole list of things, kind of like what you do on the radio sometimes. Would you rather? Or what would you, if you had a choice of these three things, which thing would you want to do? And so we did that, brought that out and had some conversation. Just something that gives you things to do that are fun and memorable and enjoyable.
Now, if I recall as well, you two have varying levels of skill at that one. Like Cindy had a very thoughtful answer, and Joe, yours was like a spoon because I like ice cream or something.
No, I think it was a knife, actually. What? I wanted it to be a knife.
Why?
Because it can do a lot of different things. It's sharp and gets to the point.
Now, wasn't there that something Kathleen was disappointed in as well, as I recall?
Oh, I think she probably rolled her eyes on me.
That's not what she was going for.
When we play games, we know Joe will give us a bunch of good laughs. Because he doesn't always understand the directions, which actually will bring us to our last point very well. Because it's about communicating well and often. And I think we need to talk a lot to each other. We need to, in that talking, also listen. And not just listen, but listen well. And I, maybe before I say the last point, do you have anything you want to add on that?
To communication?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and this is, you know, these are non-negotiables that Cindy's talking about at this point. I mean, books and volumes of materials have been written on this topic, and this is an absolute critically important topic to have a marriage that's thriving. If you want your marriage to be the best that it can be, I mean, you have to really get really focused on communicating well with each other. And if I can go back to the previous one, I would just say, you know, living big, that's who Cindy is. I mean, I'm a blessed man to have her as my wife. And she's just she's a party waiting to happen. And and she's not engaged in some party someday, one day, then I know that she's not going to be real happy.
Yeah, I like planning. It's fun. Yeah. It's fun. It's true.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's good. Thank you. Thank you for that nice compliment. Okay. That was very sweet.
Brownie points for Joe.
Brownie points. So I think, too, you know, in terms of our communicating, like one of the things that does make us laugh when we're playing games, when Joe's in on playing games with us, is it may take him a little bit longer to get the strategy of the game. And so then we just laugh because he's not doing it right. And so
I have the same
when it's
problem,
his turn,
just so you know. Yeah.
Do you?
Oh yeah.
Thank you,
well, we'll make sure sometime we play a game with you.
I don't like playing games because of that.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm with you, brother.
We'll put you and Joe on opposite teams, so at least it's balanced, right?
Yeah, there you go.
But the funny thing is, like we wait for it to be Joe's turn, and then he doesn't even have to start, and we're all laughing because we know something's going to go amiss, you know. So it's kind of fun. But with that thought in mind, this would be my last thought. In terms of communication in general, you know, this came to my mind the other day. So many times we say, like, you know, the women nag the men, or we might say that, you know, the moms and the dads nags the kids or something, but it's all about nagging here. So I want to just say that I think I do have a thought about how to prevent it. And that is when So for me as a woman, as a wife to my husband, when I say something to him, maybe it's, you know, can you do these three things? And of course, probably listeners already know it's better if I write it down for Joe than if I tell him.
Too many things.
Yeah, too many.
Don't give me a list of three verbally. It's over.
Yes, that's right. Amen.
And here's the thing. Meanwhile, I could tell my dearest friend, can you do these five things for me? I could rattle them off and I know they would be done.
Oh, yeah. No,
because that's how women think.
Yeah.
And this is not a slam on men, and it's not a, like, oh, women are so amazing. It's not that. It's just different how we think, how we perform. So I think nagging could be reduced greatly if we together would look at each other and be able to just say, these are the things I need you to do, or here's where this item is. Look at the person, make sure that they're listening as opposed to walking away or watching TV or on their phone or something. Even if I have to say, if I have to keep saying, what did you say? What did you say? I want to be able to do that as opposed to feeling like, why are you telling me this again? And I think that's what nagging feels like. Why are you saying this to me again? You already said it once. The problem is the person didn't listen to understand and to get the whole point. So I think nagging could be reduced in that way. So into the new year, if that's an issue for you, that's a little pointer.
Not that she was nagging, but I did have an issue with listening last week that Daria brought up off the air. Do you want to describe this, Daria?
Oh, no, I brought it up on the air, too.
Oh, you did? Break. Okay, sorry. Yeah.
We were talking about something that needed to be done in the studio, and you were on your phone, and I said this whole thing, and I realized you weren't listening, and I made eye contact with Laura, and I looked back, I'm like, hello, Brian. You're like, yes.
I was ready to listen when you told me it was time to listen. I'm like,
that's the point.
I'm like, yep. Your son Trey.
When we're in a
put
conversation,
your listening ears on.
When we're in a conversation all together, we expect you to be listening.
Well, but I wasn't necessarily in that conversation altogether. I was physically there.
Joe. I'm not
that's
sure about
correct,
that.
Brian.
Amen, brother.
That is the point.
Amen. I'd give you a high five if I was there.
And to my sisters, I say amen to that, too, because we need to have them on the same page. And, you know, we have so many things that distract us. And you mentioned it right there. Our phones, our computers, the station. You have so many things you're looking at. You're looking at charts and times and this and phone numbers. And so you have to be on the same page and you have to be listening well. And so I think into the new year, if that's an issue for your marriage, I say work on it. Make that a point to work on so that you can go into the following year, with a better attitude on things.
Oh, good. So marriage, not work relationships. Good. I'll be fine then.
And all relationships.
Oh, boy. Okay. All right. So again, Joe and Cindy.
Give her a bell for that, Lauren.
Joe and Cindy Verini with My Marriage Matters. How can folks connect to you if they want to hear more?
We would love to hear from them on Facebook, My Marriage Matters, which we'll try to have this audio put on in the next day or so, as well as that chart that I mentioned in between the things we were talking about today. And then our website, joeferini.com, cindyferini.com. We'd love to hear from you there. You can directly email us there if you'd like.
All right. Thank you both. Can't wait till next time.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas.
And Happy New Year to all of you.